This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
We should be eating insects.
Right? I think we should be eating insects, yeah.
That's true. We need to get on that now. Yeah.
Have you ever gone to one of those like kooky, you know, like Thailand or like Bangkok or, you know, Cambodia? There's always like, check out you have to go to the insect restaurant where they, you know, make food. I went to one of them and the guy seemed so not into it. This is the owner of it. And it was part of a tour. They were like, and then you go to the insect thing. You try gourmet insects. And we were eating them. And he's like, that's a cockroach. Like he was like, those are like, whatever, ticks or whatever. Or, you know, like they're mashed up. We kind of blanched them. So I guess we're all impure. He was so not selling it.
Oh, he wasn't into it.
He wasn't into it.
No, I mean, no. I guess like it, once you get over. I remember watching, what was it called? The Lion King. I remember the insects in that looking really delicious.
They did look really good.
I remember as a kid going like, they look really good. I'm into that. Imagine I would like to eat those bugs.
Saw you just like licking a fucking slug off the ground. You're like, Hakuna Matata. Killian, no. Killian, no.
It means no worries.
No worries.
They're attractive. They're very attractive.
Hot, loud,
and a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
I have an idea for like kind of a very short TikTok where it's like, I'm too scared to play the piano in case there is a time jump and I lose 20 years of my life.
What's that inspired by?
Because, we'll see how it does online now.
Going to do great.
I'll do it. But basically, I don't let anyone video me playing the piano and focus on my hands. Because what can happen? Because I'm too scared of like 10 years jumping or something.
Oh, they do.
Because
that.
Whenever they film a time jump, they usually have someone doing something like it'll be them playing piano as a child, and then they focus on the hands, and then they move back up to the person, and then they suddenly 20 years have passed.
Yes,
that's how they do time jumps in movies.
Maestro might have had one.
I mean, look, maybe that's not going to go viral. We'll see.
No, you got to lean into your niche things, which is. Movie tropes most people don't know about.
Yeah. What's a different one that they do? Looking in a mirror? Or no, what's... Time jumping.
Time jumping. They might do like, rolls out of bed and you see the feet.
That's it, yeah.
They're a bit older.
Yeah.
Might do...
I'm completely out of my depth. Sorry, I don't know about.
I can't think of
it. I don't know.
I can't think of it.
That's okay. It's actually maybe it's a shit conversation.
So. Oh, no, would you stop? No. It's not shit.
Whatever. You know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about Rick Rubin recently.
Great.
Yeah, I've got him a lot of my algorithm. Do you get him in your algorithm?
I do get a lot of him. I have his book as well and his audio book, and it's a bit much.
I find him a bit much. Do you know Rick Rubin?
He's got the big long beard.
He has a beard.
And he talks about the philosophy of music quite a lot.
Yeah, he produced a lot of hip hop.
Of course, yes.
He's like a legendary hip hop producer.
Yes, yes.
He is someone who people would call like a genius. They love that in American
he is.
Culture.
Look at his discography. It's unbelievable.
It's pretty crazy. And his whole thing is like, he has absolute. I feel like he leans a little bit too much into the like, I am completely unable to do anything, but I am a genius. You know, the sort of dusty foot philosopher kind of thing, where he's like the interviewers are always like, you can't play an instrument. And he's like, not at all.
Not at all.
You know,
can't mix a sound desk.
You don't, not one bit.
Not one
you don't
bit.
Know what this desk does? Not at all. Mm. You're trained in how to read music? Nope. It's just like, he really goes so far.
So
it's
what
like,
do you
he definitely knows some of that shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't read or write? Not one bit.
Not one bit.
I don't speak English.
Are you able, do you have full functionality of your limbs? Nope.
If I hold up a musical instrument, can you tell me what kind of musical instrument it is?
Nope.
All right, let's test that. Ding, ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding. Are you deaf? Technically.
That's the thing they use, isn't it, though? All those... like you said, dusty foot philosopher. It's like, God, I'm so caught up in just the work that I'm afraid I don't know. I don't know if I'm mistreating those women. You know what I mean? That's kind of what they spin that as a nice little
thing.
Like, he's so talented and so wonderful that, sure, he's abusive.
Yeah,
but I mean, come on.
The Rick Rubin thing, though, is kind of like...
I'm not saying Rick Rubin is. That's...
No.
No.
He seems lovely.
I was thinking of more that, like...
No, that's the next step is...
Aristoteles and all
that. It does start like that. It's kind of like, wow, what a selfless philosopher. mm. who is making women live on his compound.
Yeah.
He's like the
I just find him a bit like, people are like, wow, what a, like an unreal. I'm like, he definitely studied a bit. I feel like there's this illusion maybe that talent comes from some sort of thing that is where, you know, it's just something you're born with or whatever. Whereas more and more, I realize that it's just like hard work and practice. And I'm not saying that those are two things that I do, but like... people just practicing makes them really good.
Mm. That's just, there's a great quote in his The Creative Way or something it's called, or The Creative Act. And he has one, it's not like, it's a lot of his quotes aren't kind of like you would get them embroidered on a pillow. He kind of speaks fairly, you know, simple. But one is like that a lot of people think that ideas get stolen, but what happened was your idea was gifted to you and you spoil it. So you need to kind of act on it immediately because it will find another home. He's like, ideas have to be made. Things have to be made. Mm. So as soon as you have it, if you're not in the process of starting to make it, then it will be stolen by someone else, you know? And I don't know, you know, I do think that's true. I don't know if it comes from, actually, no, I do believe it comes from a woo-woo place. I do believe that there's, I actually do genuinely believe that there, that we are like, you know, in this, we're 3D in a completely 10-dimensional space and there's so much going around and there is some sort of process of information actually passing through us in some capacity and that we actually do capture. I do kind of believe that. In the same way that if you look at, do you know, did you ever hear about like the flatland kind of theory?
No. The Earth basically is flat.
The Earth is flat. No, like, so I think it's flatland, which is like, is it two-dimensional? Yeah, two-dimensional space. So say there's a two-dimensional, you're looking like a comic strip and there's a two-dimensional person walking around and you're looking at a top-down view of this, right? Like all they see is just one direction. They can't see up or down, just what's in front of them, you know, in that kind of direction. And if you were looking down on them as a three-dimensional being, you could see them, but they can't see you. But if you put your finger then down into their kind of their house, they would see like one cross-section of that and they wouldn't know what the fuck it was and then it would disappear.
Mm.
And there's a lot that you kind of, they wouldn't be able to comprehend that. And there's a lot that passes through here that maybe we can't comprehend, whether that is information or ideas or straight up fucking ghosties, bro. Straight up ghosties, vampires, werewolves, aliens.
Okay, okay.
Different dimensional ships.
That's your theory.
No, that's my fact, bro. That's fact.
The fact is a finger has arrived.
The finger has arrived. I'm like, that's a 3D finger. But that's lingo for something we can't explain.
Yeah. I figure it could be a toe. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, I do think there is. Yeah,
it's not. You don't know what they're putting through.
Could be Anton. All I know it was pink and flat. Must have been a white guy.
Yeah, I watched a movie last night called Just Like Heaven.
Oh yeah,
it's really good. It was Reese Witherspoon and Mark Ruffalo. Reese Witherspoon is a ghost haunting Mark Ruffalo. She lives in the apartment, and it was so good. More time for those kind of films. Rom coms. That are just more on the rom side and just like absolutely enjoyable to watch. Just so nice.
That's a great show. I'm gonna check
really
that out.
Good looking people. Mm. Like, I have a lot of time for her seeing really good looking people.
Ruffalo. Like Witherspoon.
Yeah. I just really like Mark Ruffalo. He's always so confused and he's like, what? No.
Yeah.
I don't. He's always shaking his head.
They knew and they let it happen.
That was sort of, that's later, that's socially conscious Ruffalo.
Yeah.
I like Ruffalo when he's just real handsome and hungover and kind of like, I don't know, what's going on? I just want to watch the game and drink a beer and I'm so handsome. That's kind of my Ruffalo.
That's good. he's the perfect example, I think with Witherspoon as well, that like, you know, when I hear that in Hollywood that everyone's really short, but they got a massive head. That you, like it's just what, you know, films well. That you have to have a big fucking head. Like Robert Downey Jr. small with a big head. Yeah. Tom Cruise small with a big head.
Zendaya has a massive, massive head.
Is she not tall?
She's got a gigantic head.
She's got a gigantic head.
In interviews, she talks about it.
Mm.
But she's tall.
She's tall, but she says that like proportion of my body, I've got a gigantic head.
If she does long interviews, you can kind of see her head like slowly tilt. And then someone runs quick behind it and kind of props it back
she's
up.
She's top heavy.
She's top heavy, unfortunately. Yeah, I like Ruffalo.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just more time for those old rom-coms.
Mm.
I think that they're nice.
They're nice. You should write one.
Yeah, okay. It's about three friends who start a podcast, but then they all realize they're in love.
That's fun. They get together and they do a podcast for a bet, but then they fall in love and they're like, they all knew about the bet and they all confront each other saying, it was your bet. I'm sorry, but I do love you. And they're like, what, a bet? And they're heartbroken, but they're also kind of angry at the other ones for you.
And then the glasses one takes off his glasses and he's so beautiful.
And then the two lads with mustaches shave off their mustaches and they're actually really beautiful.
And then they all do a circle jerk.
Yeah.
What would be like it? That sounds like it.
What if you were watching like a nice gay rom-com, Shane? What would be like if they're having a sex scene? Like what kind of tame position would you?
There's very few. I don't think gay rom-coms exist because gay is not that funny. So I don't. There's not comedy in it. The gay. There's very few English language. That one that Billy Eichner made was atrocious.
Was it?
Yeah, and he was a little bitch about it. No one's going to see my movie, which all going to be like your film was a disgrace. It was a terrible. Terrible film, laden with cliches. Mm. He gave himself this complete fucking ride to be having sex with. That it's not about
that is, you know, pretty standard.
I know. Rom-coms. Yeah, but if you're going to be gay,
Seth Rogen never did that. So why should Billy Eichner do that?
No, I just think no. J Lo and Matthew McConaughey, they can fuck each other fine.
Yeah.
But it was ridiculous. Anyway, he was annoying little stamping his feet. About it.
It was funny. I love Billy Eichner, but like his Billy on the Street stuff, absolutely hilarious.
Yes.
But he was writing these tweets going like, straight people just didn't back this movie. And I think that's really, and I'm like, I think people just didn't like your movie, man. Like it's kind of.
There is such a both though. I mean, of course, it's always going to be both.
Yeah.
It's also like it's just a comedy rom-com out in the cinema that probably should have been on streaming. Do you know what I mean? Like this,
people don't. That's why I'm saying they should make more rom coms. They should probably stop making them because they don't make money anymore. Mm. People just want to see the big blockbusters and like small cinemas kind of dying out.
What's the name of the guy who does that show where they? It's not like Oblivious. What's the show where people have to say like the least connected answer and it goes in the game
Pointless.
Show? Pointless. Yes. What's the name of the guy who's in that? Who's the smart guy with the glasses?
Richard Osman.
Richard Osman. Oh, he's wonderful.
A clip of his podcast, and he had someone on who was saying that Netflix and a lot of the streamers now give notes to TV and movie makers or whatever that their content that they're providing isn't second screen enough. It isn't good
enough.
It's
too good.
It's too interesting for people to watch while on their phone, and it needs to be less interesting. Jesus some Christ. Some shows in particular, some shows. But like, I do kind of get sometimes.
Maybe we can get No Ears If Not on there then.
Hey!
It's on the bonus thing behind
it's
the
paywall.
It's
on the bonus, is what I could say.
Yeah. But I do find that sometimes where I'm like, this is actually interesting. I'll come back to it when I'm ready, and I never come back to it. Mm. So, I'm not saying there might be something to it, but I do think we're probably going to see a future of extremely polarizing. Like, it's either very exciting or very boring.
Okay. No. I'm up for that. Mm. I mean, I love B movies. Like B movies get a culty kind of vibe.
Jerry Seinfeld.
What's that?
With Jerry Seinfeld, B movie?
B movie about a bee.
Oh. That was shit. That was a good. Shit movie.
She wants to fuck him though.
Yeah.
And she's a woman.
And she wants to fuck the bee.
He could, I suppose, vibrate on her little bee.
He'd be like, no, it's bad. That was bad.
I love B movies, yeah.
B movies are great. That's where film noir came from. And you know, the European film, this is film history.
Yeah, this is a kind of a film boys podcast.
Yeah.
I feel a bit embarrassed.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
sorry.
Let's move on.
It's okay. I just don't really have that much, you know, I have a lot of feelings and stuff like that. No, I have lots to say about art, but I just, I don't know enough terms and references because when I was in college doing it, I just stopped doing it and dropped out of college.
Yes.
So I was.
And you did it.
Absolutely guessing.
Yeah.
They were like, right about this. I was like, okay, is that one?
Can you tell me, as someone from the theatre,
yes,
why there aren't plays that are just sitcoms? Why people don't do sitcoms as plays?
They do have those.
Do they?
Where?
Like a recurring a play no, you go back
no,
to
like,
that
no, no.
Like
it's funny as
every
a sitcom.
Just something that's like a kind of a funny that doesn't have a kind of like
Mrs.
second
Brown's
act.
Boys
no, they
kind of
they do have that. What's that one? They made a film version of it where the two couples are in the house and they have to talk. They do have comedy plays.
I guess
a lot of them are very like
if they were
Mike
comedy
Nichols-y,
plays,
like
they would just
like
be sitcoms. They would just be a sitcom.
But would people not like to go out on a night and just see a kind of calamity of
errors?
The importance
of being earnest.
They have like
the importance of being earnest.
They have like silly things. They have like.
But it's never people who live in a flat like Friends.
Friends is really funny. We started watching a lot of Friends.
Maybe because it's hard to, you have to get to know those people. So it's part of the success of Friends is that your commitment over time.
The Friends is really good.
We don't have 90 minutes.
I gotta say that the fat jokes in Friends are ridiculous.
Yeah,
they are like, I thought it was like a few references in a couple episodes. The Monica is fat thing. I'm like, even then they knew that was just not funny.
Yeah, a bit dodge.
They're all, it's more.
They're so progressive for gays,
so thin,
but like,
they're
not
so
with the fat
like
jokes.
Stick thin in that era when women had to be like, you know, tiny. And there's so many references to like big butts being bad, which is like a crazy.
Bum look big in this.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, into my teenage years, I didn't know that fat people had sex. I thought only hot people had sex.
Yeah.
Like
I know what you mean.
To underline that, I thought hot as in like people who are on Baywatch.
Yeah.
I thought that's who had sex and nobody else.
Yeah, I mean,
I thought so too.
There's a lot of, but a lot of it is so funny, Friends. I mean, really, I do find myself laughing a lot at it.
Yeah. I don't mean to be party pooper, but I feel like there are about two or three series of Friends that are good, and then actually, it's really bad.
I think the last two seasons, maybe three seasons, are very hit and miss.
You're wrong because I watched an episode from episode nine, when Mike comes in.
That was all crap.
That's fine.
Mike was very funny. He was a very funny guy.
Paul Rudd. There's
a scene where you have Paul Rudd as Mike. You have Phoebe, and then you have Hank Azaria, who's Phoebe's previous love interest, and they've
David
kissed, and all, David, and it's so funny. But Mike, you have Hank Azaria and Paul Rudd having a comedy thing. He's like. You know, where are you going? I'm going to Minsk. Well, maybe I'll go to Minsk. He's like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, maybe I will. He's like, oh, well, if you do, come in April. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, that is funny.
It's funny.
He had to apologize for saying, even though it wasn't his line, he says Minsk is in Russia, which is not. It's in Belarus, isn't it?
Oh.
He says it in his first appearance. He had to apologize for that. And he had to apologize for being Apu, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he did a lot of characters.
Apologize for being a big poo. For doing all that bad stuff.
No, it's fair enough. Time's changing. You know,
yeah.
Maybe.
No, he's a good guy for doing it. It's almost like he puts a target on his back by kind of, you know, acknowledging these things, but it's very progressive and impressive. I love him in The Birdcage.
I like him when he's in Along Came Polly.
Jeez, he can't do that performance because he can't do that anymore.
Why?
He's like a very super camp, like Puerto Rican, like housemaid in The Birdcage. And like, he can't do the accent because he's not that. And he also isn't gay. So if he's not doing an Indian guy.
You know, people always love Robin Williams. If you ever watch Robin Williams, 90% of his stand-up is doing a really camp character, kind of like slagging gay people.
Mm.
Or not slagging gay people, but he does an awful lot of his jokes were just him going, oh, behave.
You're thinking of Austin Powers?
There's something in Robin Williams that's like... You don't feel a sense of hatred. It's actually
no,
he admires
true.
Them. He
yeah,
likes them.
Yeah, yeah.
He's such an observer of characters.
Yeah, he thinks that's so fun that's how they live their life. I feel like that's what I get from him.
Yeah, I love Robin Williams. I don't want to go on a I hate Robin.
You're
he's almost a sacred
him.
Person in comedy, and he seems amazing.
He's the saddest person to have ever died.
Yeah, he is.
I will say sometimes people.
It's behind the paywall.
Let's see. This is behind the paywall, so...
No, I don't want to because...
Shane is looking up
going,
will I say this? It's a dodgy thing.
Sometimes I hear myself back on this thing and I'm like, oh, shut up, like, you loser.
I'm like, okay.
I'm like, how much do you want to put your neck on the line? Do you really think that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, the other day, it was just sweeping thing of France is overrated. It was like, hold on, like...
I know, it's tough,
hold on. You throw this stuff out and then, you know...
And you have to, you kind of have a list of likes and dislikes and maybe held accountable for them in the future.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like, because I'm in the middle, it's hard to look at you guys because I feel like I have to make a very definite effort to look you in the eye while speaking.
Well, the bonus podcast listeners would be glad to know we're actually getting a new table. And in an upcoming podcast, we're going to build the table.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is...
I insisted that we build this IKEA
table.
This
is
I thought it would be
that
really
Tony
good.
Said it might be really funny.
Really good content.
It was actually very interesting. I was interested in, because I did not reply to that.
No,
and I replied to other bits and I left you unread. But then when we were in person, Tony said, now I know you're not that into it, which was interesting but I just didn't understand. I told you.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, who's the best at making the table.
As someone who stays mute when they mean no, I understand. Do you know what I mean? if someone like asks you to do something and I or don't write back, it probably means like either yes, but not right now, or no. Mm. And I haven't figured out a way of working at that part of my brain. Mm. Yeah.
You have too many systems in place at the one time.
Yeah, but I find, I'm very bad. It's tough though, like, and WhatsApp is a real sleeper, like social media. It's like,
it is.
The other ones are ones you have to log on to. Mm. WhatsApp is kind of like, WhatsApp is like, hello, you know, but it is a social media.
Do you have notifications turned on for WhatsApp?
I have them all off. I have all notifications turned off.
The, they were talking about like the difference between when you were, you know, back when we first got phones and stuff, like, you would have your ringtone on and all this kind of stuff. Like, now it's like, I walk around with like battery saver, do not disturb, silent. Mm-hmm. Like, just do not, this phone should never alert me ever. And if it goes off in a public place, I'm so embarrassed. I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Like, it's the most embarrassing thing ever.
It's kind of like a portal to hell. Like, it should have like in like, what's that? Evil Dead, you know, like that big skin face book that they have. I feel like you should have it as a cover for your phone, just to remind you, it kind of is a portal to hell.
It is.
And then you open it with caution, or like the Book of Amun-Ra from The Mummy. You know, like, open it with caution, because when you open it, you know, you're going to be bombarded.
You know, the way it was with, like, you know, they used to smoke cigarettes and all the time, and no one really thought it was kind of like unhealthy for a while, or, I mean, maybe they always suspected, because they're like, why is everyone dying? But like, you know, like, they look back and were like, this, in hindsight, was extremely bad. It'll be the same with phones and like the era. And we're actually kind of, I would say, maybe coming out of it, even though it feels like these companies have so fine-tuned their dopamine-addicted little children that is us. Mm. But like, I'd say we would look back and go, I cannot believe you were just like raw plugging your brain into this insanely addictive thing. It's like, and it was just making you all depressed.
Well, here's
I kind of think that, but maybe I'm wrong.
Here's a little stoner thought for you, right? As health kind of improves, was the inception of the idea of all these things given by the earth to try and actually cull us at a certain age? Like, are we going to get some sort of brain radiation that's not going to mean we don't live to 100 and we're all going to be kind of wiped out? Has there been a technological advance given by nature in some capacity that has kind of...
Okay, granddad, it's time for your meds now.
No.
No, I'm into it.
There's a finger. Can anyone else see the finger in the room? There's a big finger pointing.
No, there is also someone was saying the earth itself might be actually a creature as opposed to a...
Fuck.
Yeah, I know.
Tony's...
I'm into
just,
that.
I've never seen Tony's face when he finds out a new idea, but he just like licked his lip like he was about to bite into a steak when he heard that the earth might be a creature.
If the earth is a creature... then it has either a butt or a puss. Because I can make love to it.
Fuck a volcano.
I can fuck a volcano. Do a Barry Keoghan on it.
Yeah.
So it is a creature. I'm into that.
I mean, to think of it that way, like, it is the whale upon which, you know, St. Brendan parked himself, and not to light fires and to be careful and care for Mother Earth will be beautiful.
The earth is a hippopotamus and we are the little bird.
Oh, preening.
Preening. Well, actually,
hippos
right now,
are the scary ones.
Well, are we preening or are we infecting? Do we carry with ourselves a tick?
Upon that bird, is there not a louse? Does this louse not carry disease, endless infection, which will surely bring about the end of the stupendous hippopotamus?
There is, shall we watch and on that louse there was a flea.
Yeah.
And that bird there was a louse, a rare louse, a rattling louse, a louse on the bird and a bird and a whale and a whale and in the valley. Yo.
Thanks for listening to the bonus podcast.
You. Thanks, you know, very much.
Thank you so much. And I know it's not easy to, and people think it is, to actually, you know, take out a URL and go to it and put in your credit card details, your debit card.
Yeah.
We know that's annoying. So thank you very much.
What are your credit card details?
So I have 3978. Hey, wait a minute. What's with this mask and stripy top you got on and a bag that has euro signs on it? It's like a rubber. Yeah.
Thank you so much. For listening to the bonus. We do appreciate it so much and we love it. And thanks. Thank you.
Thanks, pee-pee peeps.
They're attractive.
They're very attractive.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my. Is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Idiots on the moon!
Oh!
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.